The scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the commitment and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I still, even though we've been enjoying it all winter long, I still can't get over the wonderful weather we've been having. Oh boy, it's been just, I've loved it. It's been great. Not to mention my pocketbook, not having to pay for all the fuel required to heat my house. Lord is good. Those poor people over in Europe, though, we got to keep them in prayer. They're getting all the snow that should have come here. It's that time of the year again. We're celebrating our communion. And my question for you is, are you ready? Are you ready for communion? One of the things that I don't like to do is put titles on sermons. You know, every time you send the information to the person doing the bulletin, you know, they want to know what's the title going to be, because we got to put it in the bulletin. And I've always had trouble with that, because it almost feels like I'm trying to take credit for something that I shouldn't be, you know. I gave a title to our individual doing the communion of the Spirit. But if I had to, and which shows that I'm not very creative. but if I had to give it a title, as I've been kind of going through it, going over it in my head, I would probably title it something else. I would probably title it the challenge of communion. Because today what I want to do is I want to challenge you. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will inspire you. I have something to share today for the Christian and the non-Christian, for the member and the visitor alike. I challenge you today not only to partake physically of the communion, but to also be spiritually and mentally involved in the communion service today. It's just going to be a short message. We always do this when we do communion. But I pray that God will make up for the length by allowing you to dwell on these thoughts as you go through your day and through your week. Let's pray. Father, I lift up again each person in this place. Lord, I plead our need of the Holy Spirit. May you unleash the Spirit not just on the speaker, but also on those who have come to listen today. In Jesus' name, amen. I said the challenge of communion. I've been challenged as I was kind of preparing for this. Did you know that the word communion is only found in the Bible 3 times? We're going to look them up today and see what we can get out of it. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Now, it's whenever you take a text out of a chapter, you know, it's always important to remember that you don't want to take the meaning too far from its context. So you really need to look at the whole chapter. But we're looking here at this verse, and 1 Corinthians 10, 16, Paul is writing, and this is what he says. He says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You know, this is where we get the term communion for what we do when we get together. If you look at the text in the larger picture of the chapter, Paul is talking about a few things, but one of the things that he's saying is that when we partake of the communion, we are actually becoming a part of God. Not just becoming a part of God, we're becoming a part of God's people. So when you think of history, when you look at what happened to the Jews back in the Old Testament and the different things that they went through, we are actually becoming a part of that history. We are becoming a part of that people. And just like God was a part of them, God becomes a part of our lives as well when we partake of the communion service. Now, I want to focus though on the word communion. I was looking up what the word communion was. Now, in the original Greek, you've probably heard this before, but in the original Greek, the Greek word that translates to communion is called koinonia. Now, I was just looking it up, trying to find out what the definition of it is, and just like anything else, usually there are about three or four different definitions for the word. Let me share these with you so that you can get a better understanding of communion. The word koinonia means a partnership, a sharing, a fellowship with God. One definition is social intercourse with God, which is it's more than just, you know, like a casual acquaintance. It's more like, this is my best friend. When we go someplace, we fellowship, we talk, we have koinonia. That is, when they talk about the communion service, that is the type of intimate friendship that word is referring to. So when you go to communion, you're not going to a ritual. You're not going to some service that you just got to do your time, do your thing, and then you can go home, and then, you know, you're good until the next time. Communion was created to be more than just a ritual. Communion was created to be a time where you can fellowship with God. Let's just take a second to think about what that means. It's not just if President Obama was coming and we went to the same place that the President of the United States was at, and we got a chance to go through line and shake the President's hand. Let's say, some people would say, wow, I was just in the presence of the most powerful man in the world. Did you have fellowship with him? Is that fellowship? No. But if the most powerful man in the free world were to sit down at your table and break bread with you and have small talk, and he talks about his kids and you talk about your children if you have some and what you're up to, is that fellowship? When we say communion, that's what the Bible is referring to. You're not supposed to come for a ritual. You're supposed to come for fellowship with God. What a gift. What a gift. Let's look at the next mention of communion in the Bible. This time we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Where am I here? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. No, that's not right. Am I right? Okay, that's right. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Listen to what, again, Paul is saying here. This is what he's writing to us, to the church at Corinth, but to us. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Now that we have the definition of communion, it's a little bit better to understand this text. Paul is saying it is not possible for light to have fellowship, intimate fellowship with darkness. It's just not possible. It's not possible without one or the other being changed. Do you know that? Either the darkness extinguishes the light, or the light extinguishes the darkness. It's not possible. He says we shouldn't be having intimate relationships with those that don't love God. Koinonia. Let's look at this next one. This one, I'm going to tell you, was a challenge to me. I never thought of it in these terms. 2 Corinthians 13. This is the last verse in the book of 2 Corinthians. And listen to how they end this. And I'm challenging you to see if you've ever thought of it in this context before. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, as the book is being summed up, the letter there, Paul has written, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Now let me ask you a question. What does he mean when he says the communion of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time that you had fellowship with the Holy Ghost? When was the last time that you shared something with Him? Most of us, the church, as a church teaching, we believe in the Trinity, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as being three distinct but still one. But yet many of us in the faith, in the practice of our faith, we practice our faith as if we believe in the dynamic duo, the Batman and Robin of religion, the Father and the Son, and we pray that God will give us the Holy Spirit. But when was the last time that you had communion with the Holy Ghost? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit would tell people where to go, what to do. The Holy Spirit would tell people where not to go. There were conversations that were had, plans that were laid, but yet many of us, and I had to challenge myself, I find myself praying for the Holy Spirit. I ask God to pour out His Spirit, but I've never had fellowship with the Spirit. The word communion there is the same word in the first verse, the first text that we looked at. It's talking about an intimate sharing with the Holy Ghost. You see, communion is more than just showing up. If I bring my wife home and I talk about her, but I never talk to her, am I having koinonia with my wife? I'm not. See, if you talk about God, but you never talk to God, you never fellowship with God, then you're not in communion with God. You're not sharing communion with God. And it's a challenge. The word communion means more than just showing up, than washing people's feet, eating some bread, and drinking some juice. It's the opening of your heart to God, opening of your life to God through participation in this service. It's a challenge because, really, you can't really commune with God unless you take care of some things. So, for the Christian, for the church member, I ask you this morning, as we participate in communion, are you right with God? Have you confessed your sins? Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you called on Him? Are you willing to allow Him to make changes in your life? I will tell you that you cannot. You cannot enjoy communion in its fullest sense until you've done that. You cannot come to church keeping a part of your life from God. You can't enjoy fellowship with God if you say, God, this far and no further. You can't enjoy a relationship with God if you act one way when you walk through the doors of the church, and as soon as you step out of the church, get in your car and drive off, you're somebody totally different. You can fool people, but you cannot fool God. You can live any way you want, but you know, when times get bad, when things start to go downhill, it's if you don't have that relationship with God, then you're afraid that He doesn't even want to hear from you. You need to be close to God, or you cannot enjoy communion. The next challenge is, are you right with your fellow man? Do you need to make something right? Do you need to ask someone to forgive you? Do you need to right a wrong? You cannot connect with God if you have these things hanging out there. Communion presents a challenge to you and I. We must leave our pride, our selfishness, our anger, our hate at the door when we decide to fellowship with God. You cannot have koinonia with God if you refuse to do these things. For the Christian, for the church member, if you want to have fellowship, you can't have areas of your life that are off limits to God. You need to let Him in all the way. For the visitor, communion represents an opportunity for you to respond to God. We practice in our church something that we call open communion. Open communion means that you don't have to be a church member to participate. You have the right and the freedom to watch, to observe. You don't have to do a thing. But if you choose to be a part of the service, we welcome you to. I'm going to say something as well that may bother you, may bother some. And that is, there are people who come whose lives are not right. They come to church because they're searching for something, and they think that they cannot participate because they're not right with God. Well, I have a big fat news flash with you. None of us are completely right with God. You can't play games with God. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't be double-minded. You can't be living a double life. But if you come as someone who's searching for God, The Bible says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come, let him clean you. If you try to clean yourself before you come to God, you'll never, ever come to God. The broken body of Jesus is represented by the bread. The blood of Jesus is represented by the grape juice. Another thing about the Adventist church, in the Adventist church, we don't use wine, we use grape juice. Why do we do that? Well, wine is fermented grape juice. It's spoiled grape juice. If you're going to use something to represent the blood of Jesus, we use pure grape juice. Grape juice that has not been spoiled yet or fermented. You don't have to have it all together, but you do have to have an understanding. It's not something we do lightly. It's not something we take as if it's no big deal. When a person participates in the communion service, what they're saying is, I want to be one with Jesus. For a Christian, it's almost like a renewal of your commitment to God. But for someone who's not been baptized yet, but who's wanting to come, it's like that first step. It's that pre-baptism. It's almost like a mini-baptism, which is extended to you. Yes, you can have fellowship with God. Communion represents an opportunity to do just that. As we participate in our communion this morning, I challenge you. If you're a Christian, if you're a church member, don't enter into the service without having made things right between you and God, without having made things right between you and your fellow man. If you are a visitor, you're someone that's never made that decision, you are welcome to participate. But understand, you're asking God to come in. And God will do great things in your life if you allow him in. If you allow him in, I hope you do. At this time, we're going to separate for our communion. We're going to sing our hymn of separation.